Hello, hello, and welcome back to Two Chicks in a Horror Flick. My name is Felicia Connor.
And I'm Tawny Ray.
And today we are talking about Midsommar. And I'm really excited, and I have to say something else.
Tell me.
A while back, we were recording an episode, and I think I called it Midsommar. Like, I think I really pronounced the different things. And I thought you had said Midsommar. Like, I thought you had corrected me and said Midsommar, but you probably just said it correctly because I was over-pronunciating things. But this is what happened. I completely didn't even check. I only thought to myself, I really thought there was an O and an A in this. So if you go to our monthly, you know, hey, this is what we're watching this month, I totally put Midsommar. Like,
okay.
And so then when I'm watching the movie and the title comes on, I'm like, there was an O and an A. And then all I thought was, I put all this marketing stuff out there.
Oh, no.
I didn't even spell it right.
That's okay. I'm pretty sure people know what
you were
talking about.
Nobody said anything. So yeah. Unless they're like, wow, what's this Midsommar movie? I can't wait to watch it.
I don't actually know how you're supposed to pronounce it. Is it? I always say Midsommar. But is it
Midsommar?
Okay.
So Midsommar. And the only reason I know is because I listened to an interview with Ari Aster.
Oh,
and he said
okay.
It. I was like, oh, okay. So I think what I was saying was Midsommar when I said it once.
Okay.
And you're like, no, Felicia, which is no, it's not how you say it. So it's like Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Got
so
it.
That's what we're watching now that everybody knows. And it's in 2019 and it's a horror drama by director Ari Aster. You also know him from being the director of Hereditary. So awesome. He likes that kind of pagan-y.
Yeah, there's
stuff,
like a definite through line between even Hereditary and this, even though they're very different movies. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. The ritual, pagan, long term. Like ceremony? What am I trying to say? Like, yeah, like a folk. This is like a folk horror, is how I think I saw it.
Yes,
it
I'm
described.
Sorry. It's folk horror. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Weird.
I like his stuff. I like his style. The budget was $9 million and the box office was $48 million. So good job, everybody. The location was actually in Budapest. Everything that was supposed to be in New York was in Utah, but Sweden was actually Budapest.
Okay.
But I mean, the set, like the, what was supposed to take place in Sweden, but the film actually was in Budapest. And Rotten Tomatoes.
Hold on. Whoa.
Oh,
you got to slow it down, Felicia. We're forgetting some shit here.
Oh,
we're
shit.
We're forgetting some shit right now. First of all. We are going to spoil this movie and we're going to cuss. I already just cussed, I think. Oops, sorry. And what are
you
drinking?
We didn't even talk about what. Why did I launch into all of this?
You just went straight in. You were excited. You're excited to talk about this movie.
What is wrong with me, though? This is going to be episode, 45? And we've done this that many times. And I totally forgot about shooting the shit and what are you drinking? Holy shit. Okay. Hey, Tawny, what are you drinking?
I am drinking some Ace Pineapple Cider.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've ever had it. It's very good, very sweet, but I like it. And yesterday I was like just bummed. Like I was like, I don't know, very cooped. That Jade and I, that's how we talk about it with each other. I'm like, I was feeling cooped. And he was like, I can tell you're feeling cooped. He was like, you want to go do something? You want to get out of this house? Which Jade is very much a homebody. Like, I've learned all my homebodiness from Jade. And so that was kind of different than normal. So he's like, yeah. Do you want to get out of here? And I was like, yeah, maybe I do. And so we went to a brewery, which we haven't been going out, you know, at all over the last, like, year. Like,
that's
I think
awesome.
I've been to a brewery, like, one other time. And so while we were there, I got one beer, one Hefeweizen, and it was really, really good. And then I was like, okay, that's enough beer. I got to go back to the cider. So I had two ciders, and they were really good. And it just put me in a cider mood. So I was like, I'm going to go get some more cider for our podcast recording. Anyway, that was a long story.
No, it's great. I love it. I also had Hefeweizen yesterday.
Really?
Yes. It was our anniversary. Five
right.
years.
Yes. Happy anniversary, by
thank
the way.
Thank you. We went to a softball game that my daughter was, she's the team manager. So we went to the very first one we could go to this season. And so we watched that. And then we went and had lunch at this place we love. And I saw there was like this dark orangey beer this dude had. And I'm like, honey, I want that creamy beer. He's like, oh, my Hefeweizen. And I'm like, yeah. So I had one. It was good. And then I got home and I crashed. And then we went over to a friend's house and just had sushi and just talked and stuff like that. Why am I going into all that? Oh, Hefeweizen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Today, I'm just drinking a Sam Adams. It's the Boston Lager. That's it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one. Yeah.
Nice.
And water. I have a big water.
Yeah, I got some water too over here. Yep. Gotta rehydrate. It's getting warm finally. Like, I know it's way warmer where you are in Arizona.
It's cool. It's warm where you are too. For you guys.
Like 66 degrees. Dude, we went and just sat on a porch. Well, it was like kind of a porch for this brewery, like outside in the sun. And Jade and I kept like switching places so that like we wouldn't get like a sunburn on like one side of our face or whatever. Like, it was fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it's like 80 something here today. Definitely feels summery. But it's been in like the 60s, 70s. So today is like the first day that it's kind of, it's hotter.
Hot. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What, have you been watching anything exciting?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's exciting, but we watch, well, just today, we binge watch Master Designer. I think is what it's called. And it's in England. And it's like all of these interior designers get together and design spaces. So I got totally sucked into that and was just watching that nonstop. It was good. I like to see what they do. And then you say what you've watched. I can't think of anything.
I watched a couple things. I haven't really been watching a lot this week. This last week has been like, oh, well, the last 2 weeks have been totally crazy at my day job. Just super, super busy. So I haven't had a lot of time to do much, but we did watch Promising Young Woman last night, and it was so good.
Yeah?
Like, so good.
What did you
good.
Watch that on?
Amazon. We had to rent it, but I really liked it, and that's all I'll say about that, because I don't want to ruin really anything. And then we also watched this horror movie that's like new, because Jade was like, oh, this looks really interesting. And usually, you know, I try not to watch horror movies outside of like a podcast, but we watched The Devil Below, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't really recommend it. It wasn't very good.
Like, okay.
It wasn't terrible. It was like an entertaining watch, but it was just felt pretty run of the mill. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay.
The only other thing that I watched that I felt like was of note is this movie called Monster Hunter with Mila Jovovich. It's like brand new, just came out. And I think it's her husband who directed this. And, you know, they did all the Resident Evil movies too, where she's in there. And I didn't know this, but Monster Hunter is another movie based on a video game that's been around for like 100 years, long time, it seems like. I've never played it. I didn't even know anything about it until this movie. And this movie was like crazy. At first I was like, I think I liked that. And then I was like, the more I thought about it, I was like, that movie was fucking crazy actually. And it was weird. And the pacing was weird. And like the casting was weird. They had Ron Perlman in here with like the craziest wig I've ever seen in my life. And he's like supposed to be a serious character, but you cannot take him seriously at all. But it also is, like, I don't know. It was so weird. I don't know if I recommend that one either. But it was, like, another kind of fun just popcorn flick. I don't know.
Oh, nice. Okay. I almost watched two horror movies. I almost watched Witch, but didn't, because assumed we would watch it. And Z, but didn't. I held myself back.
Okay.
I wanted to watch these movies. I did. You reminded me. I did listen to a new podcast. It's not a horror podcast, but it's a crime one called Crime Junkie. So someone at work mentioned you have to listen to this. So I listened to it. I really liked it. I really liked the ladies. That they're just like cute and fun. And I don't know. I really liked them. So that was a good one.
My friend Allie is always telling me to listen to them, and I've tried to listen to them like once, and I just couldn't get into it. Like, I don't know if I just picked, you know how sometimes it's like you gotta pick a good episode to kind of get introduced and get into it, and so maybe it was the episode I picked, I don't know, but I haven't really been able to get into them.
Yeah.
I got my first COVID shot. That was
That's right. The vaccine.
Exciting. Exciting and nerve-wracking all at the same time. I'm just an anxious person, and if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know that. But if you haven't and this is your first episode, you should know that I just have health-related anxiety. So anything that could potentially change the way that I feel on a normal day-to-day basis or whatever just gives me anxiety. So that was but it's been a week. I feel good. I really didn't have too many like bad symptoms, so that's awesome.
That's good.
And yeah, I got to go back in a couple weeks and do my second one. So but it really is like made me feel, because obviously the COVID thing in general has been like a major like anxiety, source of anxiety for me. So I'm like, oh my God, I finally feel like there's like some hope. There's like a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, like I can, oh my God, I started to think, can I actually go out into the world after I get the, you know, a couple weeks after you get the second one? And actually feel not super terrified to like be out in the world. I'm just so excited to just not panic about being outside my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be real great. So I'm excited about that.
Nice. That's awesome. You know, in Arizona, they lifted the mask mandate. So
did they?
When we were out this weekend, like no one was wearing masks and it was a trip.
Yeah.
It felt surreal because it's been, so I shouldn't say no one. There was still some people wearing masks, but a significant amount of people weren't. And it's surreal. And it's funny to say that being in a population that's not wearing face coverings is surreal. You know
right.
what I mean? Because it should be the opposite, which of course it was in the beginning of COVID, everyone
right.
wearing masks. That was crazy. It was so surreal. But now it's like the flip side.
Right. Yeah. To see people without face masks, it's like weird. Even I went to get my hair cut and they were like, oh, they lifted, because I think they lifted a mask mandate here. Maybe not.
Okay.
I don't know if they did it as a city, but there was, it might be in some places of business or something. And they were like, oh, you can take your mask off. And I was like, I'll leave it on. Like, I'm good. You know, it's so weird. It's going to be weird. Like, I don't know, eventually
it's
so going
nice.
Back to normal. Yeah, it will.
It's going to be so nice, because I hate wearing masks. I still do it. I'm just saying I hate it. I don't like wearing, especially when I'm doing, like if I'm just running, like when I walk my daughter up to school to drop her off and I put the mask on, it's not a big deal. But like if I'm doing any like extended amount of time, like shopping or anything like that,
I
hate it.
Yeah, because there's considerations you have to make. Sometimes I put in contacts because I can't like handle the like fog in my glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
just
like you, I'm going to do it. Absolutely. I'm going to wear the mask. It's not going to stop me, but it will be nice to not have to think about it. It's just like, okay, maybe not. I don't know. I was going to say, it's just kind of like wearing a jacket and when it gets cold, like I always love when it warms up because it's not even something you have to think about. You just leave the house. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like you just don't even consider like, do
yes.
I need a jacket today? What kind of jacket? Am I wearing my big heavy jacket or my light jacket? What's, you know what I mean? I just like being able to be like, I'm ready. I'm leaving this house, you know?
Yes.
And I feel
jackets
like
are much more comfortable though than
yeah.
masks in my
yeah,
opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
In my opinion.
Yes. Anyway.
Oh, I hate it when my mask has like all these little hairs and it tickles my nose.
Oh my God. Me too. It gets in your mouth.
Yes!
I'm always like trying to make sure it's not in my mouth. And then I try to check the mask before I put it on, but there's always a fucking hair that weasels its way in there. It's really not comfortable.
It'll be a good day.
I will fucking dance in the streets. Once.
Like bra burning, it'll be mask burning.
No, there was definitely a mask burning happening up here, and I just want to make clear that I am not going to be
oh,
a part
really?
Of that.
Oh, I didn't even know. So
yeah, like
that was no like.
No,
I had no idea.
No, I know. I just felt like I needed to put that out there that I was not a part of that. But no, but I will be. You know, Broadway level, dancing around street poles and shit, just super
like
fucking,
Singing in the Rain.
Yes, Singing in the
yeah,
Rain style.
I love that movie.
That'll be me. in the summer when people are more vaccinated. And yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Nice. I had my daughter's friend, her mom works over at Walgreens, and she called me, my daughter's friend called me and was like, "Hey, do you want a vaccine?" I was like, "What?" I guess they needed to give out a certain amount or like, I'm not sure. So she offered it to me and I'm like, "I don't know. There's a lot of pressure. I'm not ready right now to leave the house and go do this." Like,
yeah.
She's like, no pressure. I did. I was like, "I'm not even clear what's happening." Like, yeah, like, I didn't know like if they need it. I didn't.
Are you black
like,
market selling this?
Yeah, exactly. Is that for somebody else? And you're like, "I didn't know it was." And then my husband's like, "No, they probably need to meet a quantity of ones they're doing." And I'm like, "Oh, okay.
I think from what I've heard is like they have to pull it out of like refrigeration and then they thaw and then they have to administer them in a certain amount of time. So some people aren't showing up for their appointments and that's why they're calling people to say, and you can get put on lists in some places, like the call list that if they have extra at the end of the day, they'll just call you and be like, "Get in here. We can give you this vaccine." So I think that's what's going on.
Oh, see, if I would have known all that, then maybe I would have reconsidered it. I did, you know, but she's a teen and she was just right. Yeah, we have one. I was kind of like, okay.
You're like, this feels like I'm going to now owe you something that I'm not willing to pay for this.
If I would have known all that, that makes sense because else it would go to waste. Okay.
Yeah. So that's, I'm like, man, if you can get in on those lists too, where people are calling, like not showing up and you can get in that way, I just recommend looking at it. Cause I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to get a vaccine until like end of May. Like just no way I'm going to be able to get in there. And actually I went in because my day job, we're classified as manufacturing workers. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I ended up going in and getting it. But I think, you know, just check it out. If you're somebody who's like, "Oh no, this isn't even possible for the next couple months," there might be possibilities for you. So that's all.
I feel like there is because, like, I'm getting phone calls from...
Yeah, from teens.
From teens just slinging these vaccines. So I feel like it's a possibility. Oh, shoot. That's funny. And you guys already know the whole beginning spiel about Midsommar. So we are good there. I don't, they probably didn't miss it, but it's a folk horror, Ari Aster, Hereditary, 9 million, made 48 million, shot in Budapest. Okay.
How much was it again? 9 million was the budget?
Yeah, the budget was 9 million. It made 48 million.
That is shockingly low, actually. I would
have. Yeah, right?
Definitely thought it was more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Just the amount of people that you had to pay to be fucking extras. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Weird. Okay. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Yeah. So Rotten Tomatoes gave it 83% and the rating average, which is, I guess, IMDb, 7.1 out of 10. So let's talk about the cast. I only wrote the main people, even though it was almost like all the characters, not all, but a lot of the characters were kind of like main characters or had very important roles. I only jotted down like the main ones. So Florence Pugh.
Okay. I think.
Yeah. Okay. So Florence, she played Danny. Wow. I was really having issues. I put Dai. I think maybe the N on my laptop doesn't press.
It's sticky or something.
She played Danny. Jack Rayner played Christian. Wilhelm. I'm pretty sure it's Wilhelm, even though it starts with a V. Wilhelm Blomgren. Sorry. He played Pele. William Jackson Harper played Josh. Will Poulter played Mark. And then I noted her because she was very... Isabel Grill played Maha, which was Pele's sister. Or maybe it was Maja...
Maya, I think is how they pronounce it in the movie.
Oh,
Maya.
I thought so. That's why I didn't recognize her. I actually saw this character and I'm like, "Who is that?" And so I searched, like, who played Maya? Oh, with the J. Okay.
Yeah.
Maya. All right. So, and obviously there was a lot of more people and you want to check them out, please feel free. And now we can move into 2 minutes with Tawny.
I went a real high level on this one. So this is going to be shorter than usual, I think. And it doesn't cover all the details, but I kind of figured we would get into that anyway. So hopefully, hopefully this covers it enough for you to remember if you've seen it, or give you an idea if you haven't seen it and you don't care that it's about to get spoiled for you. After the devastating loss of her sister and parents, Dani decides to go with her boyfriend Christian and his friends to Sweden to see a ceremony that only happens once every 90 years. Dani struggles to balance her grief and trying to relax. They witness an estupa. They witness an estupa, which is a ritual suicide once members of the commune turn 72 by jumping off a cliff in front of everyone. The outsiders are obviously freaked out by this and try to leave, but they are really far away from any other civilization. Christian is courted by Pele's sister, Maya, and Mark goes missing after peeing on an important tree. One by one, the American friends disappear until only Christian and Dani are left. Dani takes part in one of the celebrations and becomes the May Queen, while Christian is led to a hut to impregnate Maya. I should note here, I didn't write this in my synopsis, but they both were drugged. Okay.
Lots of drugs.
Lots of mushrooms happening. The commune then reveals that four outsiders have died to cleanse the Horga, which is, I think, this commune. I think that's the name of the commune, of its evil, and four of their own must die too. The last sacrifice is to be chosen by the May Queen, and Dani's choice is clear. Her terrible boyfriend, who, from her perspective, just cheated on her, or a random member of this community that has now accepted her. They sew a paralyzed Christian up in a dead bear and place him with the rest of the people to be sacrificed in a building and burn it down, with some of them burning alive inside, Christian included. Dani, watching outside, goes from sobbing to smiling. The end.
The end.
I never know how to wrap it up. I'm always like,
that was great.
Finn.
Oh, I love it. That was great. All right. So, Tawny, what did you think, or how did you feel about this movie, or both?
Or both. I had seen this before, so that this wasn't a shock to me watching it a second time. I really like this movie. It is like, especially the second time watching it, I couldn't help but feel like, wow, this is kind of a masterpiece of a movie, mm-hmm. in a way. And I feel like the first time I watched it, we went to go see it in theaters actually with Trevor and Paige from Film Versus Movie. And the first time I watched it, I was so, that's a podcast, by the way, if you don't haven't checked them out, check out their podcast, Film Versus Movie podcast. And I really wanted Hereditary too. Like, I wanted something that was going to be like Hereditary. And it's similar, but it wasn't that. And it wasn't as scary, even close to as scary for me. So for that reason, I didn't like it. I felt disappointed the first time I watched mm-hmm. it. But having watched it a second time now without that thought in mind, I was able to like put that aside and be like, wow, this is a fucking masterpiece of a movie. It's so good in so many ways. The acting is really incredible. The characters feel so amazingly real. Like, the imagery is amazing. Everything happens in the sun. You know, this is, I wrote down scary in the sun, yes. which doesn't happen very often. Normally all the scary shit happens at night.
That's so true. That's a good thought. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, I really, really like it. I think there's a couple gripes that I have with it. Like, I still don't like it as much as I did Hereditary, but that's okay. It's a very different movie. It's doing a very different thing, I think. But yeah, I overall loved it. How did you feel about it?
I have to agree. I have to absolutely agree. I agree with the Hereditary comment. It didn't scare me, and I was, there was a perfect comment, actually. Hold on. Okay, so there was a comment by John DeFore of The Hollywood Reporter. He described the film as the horror equivalent of A Destination Wedding, but a more unsettling than frightening, but still a trip worth taking. That's exactly how I felt at the end of the movie when the lights turned off, when the movie was over. I felt so unsettled. I don't know, like, I just, I liked it. I knew I liked it, and I felt really uncomfortable. Like I
really,
just, yeah, like
okay,
like it was hard for me to fall asleep right away. Like really unsettled, disturbed. I felt disturbed. This is all great. These are all things I want to feel when yeah, I watch yeah. a movie. When I watch a movie, but I really felt, oh, like just uneasy. Versus Hereditary, I definitely felt disturbed and everything, but I felt more like conversational about the different pieces. And I was like, holy shit, that scared me. But this one, I felt really unsettled. And it was really, really good. I agree with you. The acting from the very beginning, even I thought the conversation among all the men, like you need to break up with this girl, blah, 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 was so real. Like it yes. was so, you know what I mean? And then I thought it did really well too. Like you saw her side. Oh my gosh. And I, you know, it, I had definitely been that in my younger days where I was going through emotional stuff and I didn't want to be a burden. So how right. she's trying to overly be like, no, no, it's me. And no, no, it's okay. No, no, it's okay. And not knowing like, no, it's not fucking okay. Like what this guy is doing. You know what I mean? But then on the flip side, I didn't hate him until later, but I didn't hate him in the beginning either because he was a guy who this, he was way in over his head. Like the emotional yeah. things that she was dealing with, he just did not know how. He cared about her in as much as he could or knew how, you know what I mean? But they just were not the right match, right? No. Like she needed someone a lot with a lot more depth and like, I don't even know how to explain it. Just like the strength and the compassion to be able to help her through her hard times. He just wasn't that guy. So I thought they did just such a phenomenal job with that. And then moving into this world, oh my gosh. And I have underlined with exclamation points, anxiety, anxiety, anxiety.
Yes, yes.
Every time she had an anxiety attack, I was like, my heart was like clenching. I felt it. You know what I mean? Yes.
Yeah.
Phenomenal acting. I really loved the storyline. You knew it was going to turn to dread, but you didn't know when. You
yeah.
didn't know how, you know? And it surprised me. By the way, I thought they were going to sacrifice the May Queen, and they yeah. absolutely did not. So it was very surprising as well.
Yeah. It was... Yeah, I love those moments with Dany where she's like flipping out or like anything with her where she's like having a conversation with him, like even after the party where she was like, oh, I didn't know that you were going on this. And all of a sudden it's like her problem.
Yeah,
I agree. That scene very like just by itself. I agree. I have had situations in the past, like with past relationships where I felt like that, like, oh, all of a sudden now I'm the one making this a problem and it's like not a problem. And like, oh no, no, no. Sorry. Okay. Okay. She's like, no, come sit down, sit down and talk to me, please. Like, come here. Like, okay. It's my fault. I'm sorry. But like, it's this, like you can't, you're not like confident enough to stand in what you feel. Mm-hmm. And so you're apologizing like constantly. And I just was like, oh my God, so well done.
Yes. And guess what? The whole thing was his fucking problem. And the reason I'll say that is because just say this relationship's not for me.
Right.
And totally. This is for anybody, man or woman or anybody that's in a relationship. I don't buy in because, you know, I feel about cheating and all of that. I just don't buy into it. If you're not fucking happy, then be a person, a strong yeah. enough person to go up and say, hey, I'm not for you. And will that other person be devastated or sad? They're going to be sad. They might. I mean, they might be sad and they might be thinking the same damn thing. But they're going to be sad. And guess what? They're going to be fine. And they're going to get over it. So really, he just kept making her feel more and more like a burden. Now, he wasn't evil. Because that's not intentionally what he was trying to do. He just wasn't strong enough to say, hey, this... I'm right. not happy with you. I want something new. Anyway.
Yeah. He was like an asshole, but he wasn't like the worst asshole that ever walked the earth. But he was yeah. like a fucking noodle. Like I hated how I do within the context of the movie hate him. Like you're saying he's not evil necessarily. Like he definitely has some gray of his own. Like even in the moment he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna break up with her. And then this awful, awful, devastating thing happens to her. And he, you know, obviously as a human being, you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to pile on to this. Like, I can't break up with her now. Like, I totally get that. But then you've got this added level of like, oh, I invited her to go with us on this trip. Like, no, don't even.
And how real is that? How real is that in relationships? Totally. I've had those relationships in the past where, you know, and how good she did. I can think of a relationship in particular that I was way in the past, and I won't mention who, because it wasn't overall bad, but I remember that. I remember, like, the friends, they liked me and everything, but there definitely was this, none of the other friends had girlfriends, so they wanted more of this alone boy time, but nobody could just fucking say that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you walk in and you feel uncomfortable, but no one is saying, no one's admitting to, hey, we just want to go as guys. We just want to have a guy. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It was
totally.
Just so fucking great. I thought when she came in and they're like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, I mean, if it's okay with you guys, I think it'd be cool. And they're like, yeah, it's great. You know, like,
even
fucking good.
Even Josh, right? Like, who is arguably one of the better of the dude group, right? Even he is like, every time she comes around, he just, like, fucking gets out of there. Like, he, like, avoids her like a plague. She comes in and starts talking to Pele.
Is this the one that was writing the thesis, right? Yes, okay.
He gets up and walks away into the kitchen. He, like, doesn't want to have anything to do with her. And it's so, like, it sucks because you're watching this through her lens and you're like, I'm not wanted anywhere. So it makes so much fucking sense then when she gets to this commune. And people accept her and are excited that she, mm-hmm. like, won this dance. And there's, like, this whole scene, you know, where they're, like, grieving with her on the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, Pele talks about it earlier. Do you feel held by Christian? I feel held in this community. And then she ends up feeling held there. She mm-hmm. has nothing else. Her
that
family is all gone.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. And Christian is, like, dead. About to be dead, you know, like,
oh my God, yeah.
So she's like, of course I'm gonna be with these people who make me feel like I'm part of something, you know.
Yeah,
fuck that friend group. God, and fuck eyebrows the most, Mark. That guy was
the
worst.
Well, though,
he did.
I saw him. What's that other movie he's in where he plays like the young boy? It was with Jennifer Aniston and they have weed inside of an RV.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah.
He plays the young neighbor boy that goes along and he's such a goody-goody. It's like,
yes.
So, yeah. And then to this where he's just such a dick and he's so,
he's convincing.
So well. It's so convincing. Yeah.
I hated it. I was like, you fucking asshole.
God, yes. Yes.
That moment too where they're about to take the mushrooms and he's just standing there and he's like, she's like, oh no, I don't want, you know, it's whatever. And he's like, yeah, but it's gonna, we can't do that. It's gonna make for a bad trip because we're all gonna come up at different times. And they just stand there and he just stares at them. I was just like, you fucking asshole.
He's such
you.
A jerk. And that boyfriend too, like, just do the shrooms. She's asking you to please just go do them. She doesn't want to do them.
Yes.
Right now. You know, you're acting like, oh no, I'll wait for you. Well, now it's very uncomfortable. Your friends are making everyone uncomfortable. She's been through a lot of trauma recently. Maybe she doesn't want to do that. You know what I mean? And then there's her not wanting to be a burden, not wanting to cause a problem with my boyfriend and his friends. And so she does them anyways. God, I hated those guys.
Fucking worst. The fucking worst.
I actually liked Pele. And he was like, brought
me
them
too.
There for the bad reasons. And I liked him the most.
He's nice.
But I'm glad you mentioned that about, that's exactly what they were going for, was like when she was grieving and they were all grieving in unison with her, is that she felt held by that community, seen and heard and held finally, you know, and that was just really cool how they did that.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you that Ari Aster, he said that he wanted to make, I wanted to mention this early on as we talk about it, because I think it was really great. He wanted to make a breakup movie. That was his original, a breakup movie where you have the right man is right under her nose. And in the end, she's able to leave him. But how twisted is that? That the right man is part of this twisted community where, you know, they're sacrificing people and stuff like that. And she's able to leave and be on her own. But look at what she's become, right? So I thought that was awesome. And he also said the goal of the film, which I felt very validated because it's exactly how I felt, is he wanted to leave people feeling confused on how to feel. And I was like, yes.
Yep. I can definitely attest to, especially the first time I saw it, I felt very, I didn't even remember at the end of the movie, her smiling. I only remembered thinking, was that kind of a smile? Like, did she start to crack a smile? It wasn't until the second watch that I was like, oh yeah, she for sure is smiling.
Yeah.
She is definitely, you know what I mean? So I was like, I don't know how to feel about this. Because obviously, like, that's a way overreaction to murder somebody, especially burn them alive because you're, you know what I mean? Like, because they did, like, bad shit. Just because they did bad shit doesn't mean that they should die.
Right.
That is, way over the top. But you're also like, okay, you're watching this movie through Danny's perspective and you're like, fuck this guy. He's fucking terrible. He's not.
Yeah.
Right. In the context of the movie again. And you're like, okay, well, bye.
Yeah. You know, I thought about that ending a lot and I really liked how she chose him and it was right after she saw that stuff. So she was like really, and totally immersed in this whole thing for the past several days and high all the time.
On drugs.
And so then when she chooses them and they burn him, she gets up, you know, she's like walking in that giant gown, right?
Yes.
And she's like almost like she's going to be sick, right?
Yes.
And then she kind of just like, and she's staring at this burning barn and the people screaming. There's people screaming actually is I think when she starts to look at the barn and it's burning and she's sitting there and it's almost like you can see. So what are her choices? So her choices are she leaves, which probably isn't going to be so easy. So there's probably days of her, she'll probably be able to leave. I really overthought this because Pelle goes to college. So she could probably like convince them that she can leave the commune maybe, because if she acts like, oh yeah, I'm a part of this and I could leave it, but then she's leaving it to what? She has no family. She, second degree murder of her boyfriend. Right. What is she going back to? Or she could stay here, that where this crazy shit happened. But she also felt held by this community. It's an escape from anything that she's going back to, which is nothing in her eyes. I obviously don't agree with that. You could make your life what you want, but you know, in this moment.
Right.
So it's almost like you could see all of these things happening and then she makes a decision. I saw it as a decision that she's going to stay.
That's how I felt too.
Okay.
The second time that I watched this, I really, because the first time I definitely was confused about how to feel. Second time, I walked away feeling relief, like relieved. And I think that is kind of how she feels as a character is, okay, Christian is dead. He is dying in this moment in this barn. And all of the things that tied me to my previous life are cut off. I am untethered. I have no connections to any of that. Like you're saying, I don't have a family to go back to. It didn't seem like she had a lot of friends. She talked to like one friend on the phone, but that was it, right? Like we never even physically saw that person. So she doesn't have like a huge support group. She's found more of a support group here. Why would she leave? Right? Yeah. Like there really is no reason to leave. And oh, that's what I was going to say is I think that they can't leave once they turn a certain age, because I think they said from 16 to 36 is like one of their seasons or whatever. And he was like, that's when everybody goes on their, you know, whatever their, I can't remember what they call it, but they leave the commune and then they come back at 36. And then I think they don't leave. So I think it depends on your age.
There's no way her and Pelle were 36.
You don't think so?
Oh, maybe.
I think Pelle, he was.
She didn't seem, well, she just didn't look 36 at all. I don't know what that means to look 36, but I saw them as, I guess, college students, where if they went into college right after high school and they're
oh, that's a good
working
point.
On their degrees, they'd be in their 20s.
Right. Okay. But yeah, they seemed older than that to me for some reason.
I thought like 26, 27, maybe approaching 30, but...
Okay.
Because they're not still quite all 36. In the... Well, one of them's working on... A couple of... Well, they're working on their doctorate degrees, but still... like if you finish, let's say you finish your bachelor's degree in 4 years and then you're working on your, I guess your master's doctorate, maybe.
Early 30s, maybe. Yeah, we're a little bit far off from 36, but yeah. But yeah, like why leave? It really doesn't. And she's just
like. Do they live there like that then? Just all the time? But that's only every 90 years they do all that other stuff, but then they just live in those huts. Oh, I would hate that communal situation with the beds everywhere.
Oh yeah, and they keep showing the baby like crying at night. I was like, oh yeah, this is not. They can't even sleep probably, right? She keeps trying to get this sleeping medication. They're all fucked up, right? They got them on drugs. They're not sleeping. Like the whole situation is a recipe for just like a fucking out of this world experience, you know?
Yes. And can I just interject that I hated how that Christian took that guy's thesis. What a piece of shit. He's just like so, what do I want to say? So
spineless.
Yeah, I can't even come up with my own idea, so I'm gonna write about this place, you know, even though this guy is dedicated, Josh has dedicated his life to like, this is what he wants to do. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to do too. And so when that guy came up, or Pele came up and said, the elder said that you could write about it. He's like, oh man, that's great. And giving him a hug. Shut up. You just had this idea 2 hours ago, you asshole. You can't be that. He's such a yucky yuck.
Totally. 1,000%. You are like, ew, dude.
Ew.
Just
you don't have one likable thing about you. One likable thing was that you didn't break up with her the night she found out her family died. But that's about it.
Like, yeah. And I do feel like he's like that through the entire movie, right? Because in the beginning, all of his friends are like, dude, are you going to break up with her? And you can tell he just cannot fucking stand in his own life at all. He's like, oh, I think I want to break up with her. And so his friends are like goading him into breaking up with her. And he's like, all right, okay. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just so, he's such a fucking noodle, dude. That's why I called him a noodle. Yes. He's just limp, just getting pushed around by everybody else. And then she's like obviously having big problems, and so he's like, well, okay, I can't break up with her. And then he goes on this trip and he's being like, you know, flabbergasted by the shit he's seeing, and he's like, you know what I think I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do this too. And that guy's like, yeah, why would you? This is my thing. And then he just is like, that's the moment that he chooses to like die on that hill. Like, what the fuck, you dumbass. I just hate it. He's the worst. He's the worst.
He's absolutely the worst. And how just, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, you're so caring. So you invited her so she doesn't need to be alone. But some chick, any chick, just kind of kicks your ass when she's dancing around and you're immediately like, I want to join the dance. Right in front of her. How do you think that is? You fucker.
He is not, he's not cool.
That guy. We hate
Fuck
that
him.
Guy. Yeah. Gosh. Okay. So everything. I just want to mention something all the way back to the beginning. When it started, I was just like blown away by the acting. I loved it. And then everything was so beautiful, including the most dreadful was so beautiful. And that whole thing with her sister killing herself. Wow. I just have never even seen anything like that. Very much echoed Hereditary. Not that that had anything to do with it. Not that Hereditary had anything similar, but the darkness and the dread and then the just how horrifying it was. It was very dark and very scary and shocking because I've never seen anything like that before, and really beautiful. Beautifully shot, I guess. Just, you know what I mean?
Does that totally.
Make sense? Am I making-
yes. No. Totally. I get, because it is very. It's like artful. It's
artful.
Like,
yes, artful.
And also, it's like really fucking dark and disturbing and horrifying. All of those things at one time. And I remember being like blown away just from this first scene, watching it in the theater, I mean, you're immediately like, you feel that sense of dread. I think that is kind of what you're saying, is it feels like Hereditary because there's this sense of just heavy, heavy dread. And then her scene, like kind of mimicking Hereditary right after that, she's just like screaming.
Yeah, her cry.
Like, I hope we're not ruining Hereditary for anybody who hasn't seen it. But there, I mean, there's an, you know, I don't think we're ruining it necessarily.
I don't think we said anything that would prepare anybody for what they're going to
do. For what happens in Hereditary. True. Yeah. But she's just like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, like just screaming in his arms. I mean, it's really heavy. It's hard to watch. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. One of the things that I really enjoyed in this movie, though, like just as far as like filmmaking goes, they do some insanely great camera work in this movie that is just, this is what I mean when I'm like, this is a fucking masterpiece. Yeah. Like, this is beautiful. And I've never watched a movie, I need to say this before I forget it because I didn't write it down. I've never seen a movie use zooms more artfully than I have this movie. Usually when people zoom, it's funny. You know what I mean? Like, because zooms are like, you just don't use them most of the time. And I feel like there are a few zooms in this movie that are really slow and deliberate, where it's either zooming in or out, and it's just really unsettling.
Yeah.
And anyway, I just, that reminded me because of this, like, there's this dolly shot toward the sister as she's sitting there, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. and it is so good. Oh, it's so, yeah. And it goes up and over her out the window, you know?
Yeah. And to her email, to her sister. And then, yep.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it doesn't go out the window then.
Yeah, it goes up to, yeah, no, it goes all the way in and then you see her eye and then there's like the email. And then I don't remember if it goes out the window or not.
Yeah, it might go beyond that. That might be a different shot that I'm remembering.
It may go outside, actually. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
That, it could have been a different shot, but, or like when she's, I think I'm thinking of when she's screaming and Christian's holding her and it goes out the window.
Yep, yes, yes, yeah. Yes, it does.
So there's like a few of those and it just is so beautiful. It sucks. It's awful, the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
And it's also so effective.
It's so effective because when she's talking about her sister sending her those emails and he's like, you know, she does this all the time and you're enabling her. So you're not quite sure if Danny is like maybe a hypochondriac or, you know what I mean? Like she's always just panicking about things, or you kind of have a feeling she's not, though, but they do put that out there. You right. just know her sister's going to do something terrible. You know what I mean? You like, oh, God, that was horrible too.
Awful.
I'd never seen anything like that before. One part that I physically wished would stop and I couldn't look at, but I thought was also very masterfully done, was when those damn flowers were throbbing.
Yes.
I fucking hated it because it creeped me out. And it might have been the circle. Just the, you know, like that tryptophobia
for sure.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Open, close, open. Like I physically put my hand, I'm watching everything going on, but I did not want to see her crown. I did not want to see those flowers one more time. It was making me ill. But I get why they were doing that because I was reading this one thing. I didn't get it when I was watching. I thought they were just trying to make me feel like I'm on drugs, which is probably a part of it because everybody was on drugs. But what it was the flowers and the plants were breathing with her. So they were a part of her. I really want to go back and watch this whole movie, actually, because the things I did pick out that were in the pictures they saw, mm-hmm. I realized everything was in the pictures they saw, but I wasn't picking it up as I was looking at the different things. There was just some things that I noticed.
Yeah.
So I want to watch it again, but it was, if I can just read this little bit, and it is from IMDb. But throughout the film, Danny hallucinates the plant life interacting with her and growing into her, right? So this foreshadows her eventual decision to join the community at the end of the film. Okay, so we were right. Additionally, her interaction and growth with the plants gets more pronounced as the theme progresses. Notably, examples include the tuft of grass growing through her hands and the grass consuming her feet, the vines of her throne, which I thought that was stunning, how they interacted with her hands.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so pretty. I'm getting cold chills. But then the flowers in her crown breathing in sync with her. I liked the element. I hated looking at it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
I get you, because it is like that.
It's unnerving.
Yeah. I've never picked up on that, though. I did think it was like a drug thing. Yeah. And so I'd like to go back also and see it breathe with her. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Did you notice the head in the mountainside when they were carrying her on the throne?
Nope.
Like, they were carrying her, I think, to the table. Yeah. And there's like a face in the hillside.
Yes.
Did you read about it afterwards? Yes. Okay, I was like, you know what I'm talking about, yes. But you didn't see it?
I didn't see it. I didn't see it, and I read about it that you could see her sister's face in outside, and I don't even remember that. I think I was so focused. I thought that this was the moment they were going to carry her off and burn her. I was like, oh shit, here we go, that I didn't even see it. Now I want to go back and see it.
I didn't realize it was her sister's face, though. I thought it was just a face.
Yeah, no, it was her sister's face. So okay. A lot of these things too, and I'll have some stuff for you that, in the screenplay, it seems like they explain more of not a backstory, but like, for example, how the people died, you know, all the different people of their friends that die, like how and when and things like that, which you don't, because it happens off camera, right? They just end up dead. So they go into a lot of that about how those people died, and I guess that was in like the screenplay.
Okay, but didn't make it to the final cut.
Right. It didn't make it to the final cut, but there's like elements. So for example, there was let me just tell you as an example. So Connie, which was the girlfriend. Okay. So Connie's corpse being wheeled in a wheelbarrow to go to the they were going to put in the shrine and that, you know, the triangle building, it looked wet and bloated, which now thinking back, oh, you're right, it did. I didn't really think about it.
Was that Connie?
Yeah, they said that was Connie. So I remember seeing that with her, or with the hair.
Oh, with the hair.
Yeah, but I didn't, and I remember just focusing on it. I didn't really click to me that the body was wet. It was like, who is that? Is all right. I was thinking. So that was Connie. It was wet and bloated. So this insinuates that the villagers drowned her in a nearby lake after they had supposedly brought Simon to the station, but they actually killed him. So just as Danny is taking the meat tarts out of the oven, both she and Mark hear faint screams. Remember that? And it kind of paused everybody.
Yeah.
Implying that the villagers grabbed her to the point of, and then drowned her. And I'm like, okay, well, how would you get that from all of that? But I guess that is in the screenplay. And in the director's cut, a boy is almost sacrificed by drowning in a lake by the villagers while wearing a sacrificial robe. And so Connie, her corpse is wearing the same robe. I should also mention, because I really want to watch it, the director's cut. I think it was like 33 minutes of the movie was cut from that.
Dude, it's already a long ass movie. I know. It's 2.5 hours.
But they cut 30 minutes of it because it was going to be NC-17 rating.
Okay. I want to watch this.
Yeah, I want to watch it too. There's a lot of those types of things that kind of point to these different things that were cut.
Okay. That makes sense, because I did feel like, man, this could be a lot gorier than it is. Like, it's kind of a gory movie. It's gory. But the parts that are gory are, like, small. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're really gory, but they're, like, really small. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's, like, two
besides
moments.
Besides those old people. Jeez. I was like,
that's what I'm talking about. It's like, you got those people. And when Christian, like, comes across, you know, the blood eagle guy. That's gory.
Yeah.
But that's, like, it, really.
That's, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And so I was like disappointed. Like I thought it was going to be because Hereditary is just like over the top fucking ugh.
Oh, there's certain scenes I won't mention that come to mind.
Yes.
But oh God. Okay. Bring it back. Bring it back. yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. So the old people, when they start bringing them up to the mountain, I'm like, oh, here we go. Okay. Here we go. The horror is about to begin. And wow. I've never seen anything like that. So it's so crazy. I see so much gore in so many movies, but to see like a face crush on a rock like that. And then when the people came to like hit him and like each one, I'm like, enough.
I know. This is my favorite scene in the entire thing. Yeah. Like the entire movie. It's just so good and scary and tense and gory. And like, I just can't. I don't even know how to describe it. It's so good.
Yeah. I loved the reactions of all the people because on one hand, I felt almost removed to the fact that these people were committing suicide and it should bother me like it did the other couple, Connie and her boyfriend, right? They were like, you don't have to do this. And they were screaming. Where the other
Someone stop him. Yeah.
Where the other crew was kind of just like, they were disturbed by it, but they were like, whoa, shit. Because, well, I guess as anthropologists, though, there's lots of different cultures that do different things. And you can't kind of just interject how you think things should go with your Western lens. And so their reaction to it, oh, I just thought it was great.
Me too. And especially Josh, right? Who, you know, presumably knows something about this ceremony because earlier he's like, a real one? Like, are we going to watch that? But he doesn't tell anybody else like what's going on. And so he, while they're definitely disturbed by it, they seem to be almost more in shock and they don't want to watch, but they're not like, you know, out loud. I mean, Christian is kind of reacting, but not as much as Connie and the other guy. But then when I think it's like the Pele's mom or something, somebody, grandmother or whatever, she comes out and she's like, hey, I'm so sorry, like, that you're freaked out. Like, don't worry about it. Like, this is how we do things. We, you know, these people just chose to take life into their death into their own hands rather than being a burden on their families. And like, and you kind of get as you're watching this interaction, like, oh yeah. Am I just viewing this through a Western lens potentially when other people might do it differently? And how could you, obviously it'd be disturbing, but it's like, you're here with these people. This is how they've been doing it for the last, you know, forever, centuries, presumably. So you're like, okay, sure. You'd be disturbed, but you'd be like, okay, I don't know. This is your thing. But this scene is so fucking good. It's so good. This is what I was talking about with the Zoom. Like they bring them up to the top of the, you know, the precipice. Mm-hmm. And there's this like very slow zoom out as they come up on the top of the ridge.
Yes.
And everything is so bright. It's like almost hazy because they're doing it in the like naked daylight. You know what I mean? The sun is like shining on them. And my favorite moment is when he goes to jump off, the second guy goes to jump off, and there's this quick cut to a super like wide shot, and he hits the ground, and the sound effect is like you were watching from that far away. I think it had the potential to be funny, and I think if you were like, you know, watching this in the right state of mind, maybe with other people drinking, whatever, having a fun time, I think it could be funny. But every time I've watched that scene, it is incredibly disturbing because it just feels so fucking real. That's exactly how it would sound if that's how far away you were from him hitting that like stone thing. And it's like too real. This is why I like Rob Zombie. And I've talked about this before, like in his movies, he does things that feel gritty and real, and because it feels so real, it's disturbing. And I think that's why I like this moment and this scene so much. And then also, like, it's unrealistic to think that you'd just die from jumping off, you know what I mean? So the fact that the second person jumps and doesn't die on impact, but like horribly breaks a leg and they have to go in and put him out of his misery in almost like the worst way possible.
Oh, yeah.
It is awful. And then you think you're safe after this scene. You think, oh, okay, because I didn't just watch this person jump off to their death. They come back to it like two or three fucking times. They show like close-ups of their face. So it like catches you off guard. It's
yes.
So, I don't know, again, amazingly well done. And also just before I move off the scene, one of my other favorite things about that shot where they back way up and it's really, is you can see that person crumble. It's like he just hits the ground and crumbles exactly how you would a human body jumping from that height. So gross. Yes. And so good.
I remember screaming, oh, his legs.
Yes.
Yeah, that was just phenomenal and disturbing. I have to say my oldest daughter watched this entire movie with me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I am shocked. Yeah. I didn't sound that shocked because I took a drink right as Felicia told me that.
Yeah.
For those of you not watching but listening.
What? She wasn't like scared of it. I guess she doesn't like jump scares and stuff like that, but okay. She watched this whole thing with me.
How'd she feel about it?
She felt the same way. She thought it was a good movie, super disturbing. She doesn't want to see it again. And she really wished they would stop showing that crushed in face.
Yes.
When they kept showing it. She's like, enough, enough with the face. She didn't like the breathing flowers either. But yeah, she thought, she's definitely not a scary movie person. So she doesn't want to see it again, but she like appreciated it and thought it was pretty cool. Like it was an interesting take, an interesting story and really disturbing. Yeah. I wanted to tell you this before we move away from this, how do you say it? A testupa?
A stupa? I think it's how they said it in the movie.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to mention, because I got this little piece of tidbit trivia, the practice of the stupa is effectively a myth. So as depicted, the elderly were expected to sacrifice for the good of the village, maintaining efficiency. However, the original source of the story is a 13th century Icelandic account of Gautek saga and supposed stupas in Norway and Scandinavia have all been proven to have been only referred to as such by 18th and 19th century historians, and no prior reference to any such practices save the Gautrek saga. So most serious historians consider the story a reflection of the Icelandic medieval tradition of depicting Swedes as barbarous on account of them converting to Christianity a century later in Iceland.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So.
So this was a slander campaign. Slander. On the Swedes.
Oh, can I tell you one more thing about the Swedes? Most of the most of the Swedish dialogue spoken by the Harka natives is deliberately not subtitled in order to create a sense of isolation for the audience and especially for the foreign visitors. But what I was going to tell you is when the film was released in Sweden, rather than eliciting fear in the audience, many people laughed. Many Swedish critics praised the film as an excellent black comedy.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
That is, but I mean, there are elements of comedy for sure.
But I guess if you, okay, so let's say this.
But like overall, I would not call this a dark comedy.
But what if, like, I wonder, what if they made this movie about people that lived in Idaho? You might,
yeah,
laugh because you might be like, this is absurd. What is it?
I guess I could see that,
but yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it definitely, I didn't think it was funny, but I thought I would throw that in there.
I could see how you would see it as funny because it's so, what you're saying, it's so absurd.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there were like very funny moments. One of the funniest things that I thought happened, it doesn't really have to do with the people that were there, but when they took shrooms the first time and Mark is like flipping out, I was like, straight up, this is me on psychedelics. Like this is exactly why I have never and likely will never do psychedelics, because I will freak out like this. Cause he's like, what's happening? He's like, what time is it? They're like 9 p.m. And he's like, it's not 9 p.m. Why is the sun still out? This is wrong. Everything's wrong.
Yes. Josh, please lay down. Lay down now. Yeah. Yes. That I cracked up about that. I cracked up about the tics, how he was all paranoid about. But you know what? I'm going to tell you this. He has an extreme phobia of tics, right? Well, this is actually based on Ari Aster's real life fear of bugs and illness.
Okay.
So like Mark, Aster wore two pairs of socks over his jeans when they were out there filming to ensure he would not receive bug bites.
That's funny. I feel that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably feel that with him.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I thought that they did a really good job. I can say one thing I didn't like, and if you disagree, maybe you can change my mind. I didn't get the inbred guy, the role of that. I mean, I didn't get it at all. For some reason, this just felt so over the top.
I agree.
I mean, I'm sure there are people that have that, and I don't want to say like that's over the top, but it just felt almost like the guy in Goonies.
You know what? Listen, it's time for me to tell you
what
that I probably have seen Goonies, but I haven't seen it since I was like a child, so I don't remember a goddamn thing about the Goonies. Okay. I don't.
At least
I have
seen it. You were so nervous.
I know. Well, because it's like one of those like beloved ass movies. Like people love it, and I'm sure I've seen it. I'm sure when I was a child I've seen it, but like I don't remember anything about it. So I'm sorry. I'm not in the Goonies club.
That's okay. I thought that he didn't really have a significant role besides the place that they plugged in this guy with an extreme deformity to paint on the books. And then they're like, I don't even know what his role was. They were, the inbred are the spiritual gurus. Okay. I mean, that's not a bad message that somebody with a deformity or something like that is actually the person in the community that's kind of revered. But it's like they purposely do that. They purposely inbreed to produce someone who's going to
be their oracle or whatever. Yeah.
And then he's only just painting on all the pages. Like, it was almost like jokey, right? Because they have all these runes and stuff like this, and then all this writing, and then he just paints on all of them. I mean, the only thing was it was super creepy when he was wearing Mark's skin.
Oh, yeah, for
that
sure.
That was creepy. And maybe he had to, because he just kind of stood there in the skin, like breathing weird.
Yeah.
Where maybe somebody else in the community wouldn't have done that. They would have just been wearing it. But other than that, I didn't really...
I agree completely. No, I also wrote it down. That's one of the things I didn't like about this movie. And I wondered, but based on what you're saying right now, I'm betting that there's nothing in like the director's cut or whatever, but it felt like there was something more there, maybe, that had to get cut or had to be cut or something, because it did feel very much like that had no bearing on the story at all. Like,
right.
We didn't really need to know that they purposefully inbred, like, did some inbreeding to create oracles. What does that give us in the context of the movie? Absolutely nothing.
Right.
So well, I agree. It did feel kind of like shoehorned in. And they also used a lot of this footage, I feel like, in the trailer. So before going to actually see this movie in theaters, like your perception, at least that I remember from the trailer, was that like this was almost going to be the antagonist, right? This person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like only in it for a couple minutes and have like nothing to do with what's actually happening, which could have been a red herring. But if it's a red herring, I feel like it's cheap. You know what I mean? Like we didn't need it. It's weird.
Yeah. That was my only thing, is I just wanted a little bit. I wanted it to mean more, or
right. To have
maybe
something.
It did, and I missed it, or
Yeah, maybe for me too. Maybe I didn't pick up on it. And yeah, it just, it did feel very disconnected from what was happening, like the main story.
I can say in one part of the movie, I screamed out loud, "Stop ingesting shit." Like, they're losing their mind. Ooh, and I was so uncomfortable, which I thought was a really good job, Christian. Like, I think that's how I would be if I was on hallucinogens when he was at the table.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's just like hunched over and so uncomfortable. That would be me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He is freaking out. He's like, and I like how, too, he's the last person at the table after they seat Dani because she's the May Queen. And he just, like, comes up, just totally high as fuck, sits down, and he's just, like you're saying, hunched over. And he's, like, rocking a little bit, like, back and forth. Like, you can tell he's, like, he is just having a fucking trip.
Like, you want to say, go lie down. Like, go back to the barn and lie down. Just lie down.
You're okay. You're okay.
Yes.
He is flipping out. And I like how also, like, on a flip side, you've got Dani who takes the, you know, tea or whatever, and she starts to kind of freak out. But then she just starts having fun because they're dancing around, like, that maypole or whatever it is, right? And they're having, like, she's just, it's all fun and games. And so she kind of turns it around and she's like, whoa, this is fun. I'm having fun. Christian, on the other hand, is freaking out. And then that guy claps in his hand and he's, like, immediately, like, why would you do that to me?
Yeah. Oh, God, it's miserable. Yes. So actually, sad. Now that you said that, it almost flip-flops where everyone's having a good time hallucinating but her in the beginning.
Right.
To the end where she's having a good time and, you know, he is absolutely not. Oh,
that's really interesting.
I could tell you I'd never be the May Queen because I couldn't dance around that thing that long.
Yeah.
Especially on drugs. Like, I don't.
I also love that scene just while I'm thinking about it. Sorry. Yeah. I feel like we're jumping all over the place in this movie. But
no one's again. We didn't spoil it for anybody, really, because you never know what to expect, when to expect what we're talking about.
True. But in that beginning scene where they're tripping and she just starts flipping out and goes to that like shack or whatever, that's like an outhouse.
Yes.
And she sees that her sister like back behind her. Ooh, that is so creepy.
So creepy.
And she is just freaking out. So she just gets out of that room and runs. Like, again, this is how I'd be. And I just, it's so anxiety inducing.
There was a note made about the cult that ironically Christian is the one that ends up dead in the final ritual, being the Christian killed by the pagans.
Oh, interesting.
I just thought that was I did, once his name was Christian, was curious if that was intentional. But I love religion stuff.
That's interesting. Aren't Mark and Josh like Christian names too?
Mark definitely is. Joshua, yeah, I think it is. Yeah, definitely Mark, the story in the Bible.
Interesting.
Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not her, though. What was Dani?
Or Dani.
Yeah. Very curious. This is just a little bizarrely fun fact that rich and famous people don't always get everything they want, I guess. Okay. Ariana Grande is a big fan of this film, calling it one of her favorite films of 2019. She tried and failed to buy the May Queen gown used in the film at an auction.
Oh, shit. Yep. Okay.
She also threw a midsummer-themed birthday party for herself for her 27th birthday. I think that's
interesting.
Really fun. I wouldn't mind doing that weird, crazy
Hell yeah.
shit.
I wanted to do this for our group Halloween costume last year, I wanted to do, midsummer. Was that 2019? Yeah, it must have been 2019. And we went with something else, but I was like, we should do Midsummer because we could all dress up like the members, you know, and it'd be like fairly easy. And then one of us
has to be the queen.
Yes. Paige.
How are you going to work? That giant
doesn't
thing.
Matter. Not the highest priority. Highest priority is.
Shoot, that would have been easy to make too, because you could not use real flowers, right? Just flower material that was in this big long thing that you traipsed around in all day.
Or even just like, you know, flower, like fake flowers from Joann's or whatever, and you could create like a wire cage or something.
Like, well, that would be hard to walk around in.
It would, but again, I'm so badass.
I was going for office ready. I could go to meetings in my gown. Not you're like, oh yeah, but wire cage.
No, I'm trying to like have it be a problem anytime I walk through a doorway.
Oh my gosh, I love
it. I'm in for the accuracy, not for the workability of this outfit. But I am also super interested in like cosplaying and stuff. I've never done it, but it is something that I'm interested in when eventually we get back to, you know, non-COVID times or whatever. Like, I do want to create. I love dressing up in costume. We've talked about this before, yeah. But it would be so fun to do like accurate depictions of, you know, actual outfits and stuff. So it's like Ariana Grande, just have somebody fucking make it for you. Like, you'd spend less than half the money, I'm sure, recreating the gown. Yeah. I loved that gown too. She looked like a big slug at the end.
Yeah, but she's just dragging that thing as she's walking. It looked so heavy.
So heavy and so like amorphous. Like it's like so weird. I love it. It's like one of my favorite. She's like lost in it. She's just a mountain of flowers. It's weird. Ooh,
I'm glad you said that because actually the symbolism of that dress entirely made of flowers is signaling her complete engulfment by the community.
Ooh,
so it starts with just the white dress. Then it starts with some flowers in her hair when she's dancing around the maypole, then the giant flower crown, and then she's completely engulfed.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. I really want to go back and watch and look at all the murals. So there were some that immediately clicked for me, like the pubic hair.
Right.
I really loved this because you see this mural of a woman cutting her pubic hair and then bleeding into a cup, right? And so then when he's eating the tart and there's the hair, right? You're like, oh, it's her pubic hair. Then without any, they didn't zoom in on the cup. They didn't do anything that was like, yeah, and look at this, guys, nothing. But if you look at the table, his juice is just a little more red and a little darker or even just a little darker orange than everybody else's juice. And you're like, oh my God.
Yes. That was very well done. Cause you're right. Yes. They don't need to like call attention to it.
As soon as you know that's a pubic hair, you immediately think of that mural and then you know why his juice is a little darker.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
A little more red. So good.
Oh my gosh. It was so good. So now I want to go and look at all of them. Because the bear burning, I thought, oh shoot, they're going to burn the bear. But I'm trying to remember back. Was there a man in the bear in that picture? I don't remember. I just remember seeing a bear burning and I'm like, oh shit, they're going to burn the bear. Then they burned him in there. How terrifying too. Sorry. I'm just like speeding out of control now. Being paralyzed and being able to feel, but not being able to speak. And you just are, first of all, just being in that position, that's like, that terrifies me. And then he's just sitting there burning. He can't even scream.
Yeah.
But he can feel it all.
That is like the worst nightmare. The worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Awful. And then that one guy is alive and starts burning and he's just screaming.
When he was like, they're like, take this and you won't you know, so you don't feel pain. I'd be like, oh, I'd be licking that thing real quick. And then he starts screaming. I'm like, oh shit.
It didn't work.
I said to my daughter, I was like, oh shit. If I was anybody sitting out, you know, watching, I was like, oh, that fucking medicine does not work. And then I was like, well, I wouldn't have to worry about it. Probably the majority of them don't because it's every 90 years. So,
right. You'd probably be dead by the time
you would have to jump
again.
Off the mountain. You'd be jumping off the mountain, right?
What's worse? I think I would rather jump off the mountain.
Oh God.
Just then be burned alive.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. I would rather jump off a mountain than being burned alive. 100%.
There's at least the chance that you die on impact and that would be better.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to just burn.
Burn alive. Oh my God.
It'd be horrible. Horrible. Ooh. So let's talk about the sex scene. I just love it.
Okay. Let's do it.
Wow. Right? I thought he did a really good job with his, like, because he's drugged and he's doing it, but like these women are pushing his
rear
into her. And oh, when the mom, I think it's her mom, I don't know, but when one of the woman comes down, I thought it was her mom, and starts to go, oh, like, you know, telling her that she should make noise, and then the daughter sinks with her. I believe that's their relationship, but whatever. And they're like, oh, and he just kind of looks up like, whoa, what?
He is fucked up. I mean, like, it's like, it's fucked up because he is drugged and he is led to do this. And they have been gunning for this for a while, obviously, because they sat him down and tried to talk to him about it. She's been doing these, like, you know, courting romance spell ritual type things. So it's fucked up. So I just want to say that on the front end, because it's not like he, in full capacity, like, chose to do this. But it is a fucking, having said that, it is fucking weird that he is like, okay, let me follow this flower girl who is just laying out, like, there had, I don't know, it's fucked up. It's a fucked up situation, but he had to know that was a possibility, right?
Because he had to know that's what she was doing. Come on.
He was sat down and asked, hey, do you want to impregnate my daughter? And he's like, whoa, that's a crazy proposition. We don't even see the rest of that conversation. It's just over, right? So we don't even know what happened beyond that.
So he knows that's what's going to happen.
Or at least somebody's gunning for that to happen, right, with him?
Yeah.
And then he just like, okay, let me just follow this trail of petals, right, into this hut. There's all these naked women. Also, Ari Aster with the naked people. Just super unsettling all the time. I don't know.
Naked people everywhere, yes.
And it is so weird. It is and weird. Unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this movie, like, 8 times throughout the entire movie, there's, like, the potential for it to be funny. You know what I mean? But it doesn't quite get there. It's so disturbing and unsettling that it, for me at least, it doesn't cross that line into funny. It's still, and I think this scene had the potential for that, right? Because you've got all these naked women.
Everyone going, oh, yeah.
This community does everything together, right? It's, they are very connected. It's not like one person goes off and does whatever, right? And so that shows through, I think, in this scene where you've got her being impregnated, and even that, like, something that is considered one of the most taboo things is having sex. You've got the entire fucking commune there.
They're right? All in, like, support.
Taking part in this thing. But that's true all the way through this movie. Even when they're, like, burning people alive, everybody stands outside the thing and screams in pain and is, like, working through kind of some of the the angst about that. And so it's a theme throughout the movie, right? It's not just that
sex scene. They experience joy together. They experience grief. Yes. Pain, pleasure. They experience all of those things together as a community, as a one.
Yes. And that's why it's so all enveloping.
Yeah.
Is because they're like one big mass. They're not just individual people living in this horga, right? Like, it is the horga as a whole.
And even if you think of that contrasted with when they're back in the city, they're supposed to be in New York. When they're back, they are, it's darker. The whole, all the scenes in the city and all of that are darker, or at night. They're alone. They're alone with their grief. They're isolated in their grief and their pain. And then within this community that's bright, and there's, even though horrific things are happening.
Yes. It's very sunny and comforting and all of that. Like, happy feeling. And I can't help but feel like, just to add another word onto that, all of the scenes that happen back home feel very, in addition to dark, they feel fucking dusty. Everything's like musty and like stuffy. And it must be like, you know, fog, that they like pumped a little bit of fog into these atmospheres. But it just, everything feels so fucking stale and just gross.
Yeah. So at the end, when she decides to become a part of this community, you're not like, that's fucking bullshit. Oh, well, at least I didn't. I didn't feel like that's bullshit, because the contrast, like, what is she going to go back to? Now, of course, being, you know, just a person living outside of a community like that, there's lots of amazing things you can do with your life. But obviously, just within the context of the movie, there's that compared to, okay, maybe I can overlook some of these. Plus, I think at that moment, she doesn't know that that one guy is like skinned like a butterfly someplace.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
She doesn't know that other girl was killed either, I don't think. I don't think she really knows what's in the barn, right? She's just like sitting there besides him.
Right.
Or maybe she does. She doesn't know the full extent of everything going on.
She's also, she seems like kind of out of it. Like, yeah, she is probably not paying attention enough to know, you know, like she knows she hasn't seen any of those people for a while and they might be dead, but I don't know that she knows exactly what's going on, to your point.
Yes. Yes. There was this piece, you know, the woman who jumps, who during the stupa, she bears a striking resemblance to Danny. I didn't catch this, but this is a trivia piece. And some fan theory presumes that she killed herself to make room for Danny to join the Harker community. But we don't know.
Interesting. I didn't pick up on that either. I want to see like a part two. Like I want to watch Danny and Pele live in harmony.
In this, yeah.
In the Horga.
Right? In the Horga. Yep. The runes, you know, when he draws that picture of her and there's like runes on her, those runes are on her dress.
Oh, I did not pick up on that.
She has runes. Those are the runes that are on her dress as well.
Okay.
The entire movie, if you look closely, is in the murals. The entire thing, everything that's going to happen.
Even the very, very beginning. Do you remember how it opens up on the very first thing? And it opens up on like a, it looks like it's like a painted mural or whatever. And it just splits down the middle and does a wipe. It wipes out. And then we have like, you know, a few shots of the winter in the trees. Do you remember this? Go back and watch it, dude. Back and watch. Because I was like, the second time I was like, shit, there it is. That's exactly the entire plot of the movie.
Right in there. Like, oh, yes, four I remember. Frames.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, shit, you're right.
In, like, four panels. Yeah. Go back and look at it even more, because you're like, oh, shit. Yep.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch it. I tried to get Steve to watch it with me. He was like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, come on, babe, just watch it with me. I want to watch it alone. So you'll also, I want to go back to pick up on the different things, because Pele, a lot of the stuff he says is reflected. For example, he teases Christian, and don't forget about all the Swedish women you're going to impregnate in June.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what he did. So it's almost like, and then I want to go back because the first time I made a connection to the stuff Pele was telling them to what's going to happen was when he comes in the skin, right? Me and my daughter both went, oh, the skinned Joker. Because we remember Pele talking about the skin, the skinned fool. And I was like, oh shit, I want to go back and see all these hints that they drop that I just didn't pick up. Another interesting thing, obviously, the Wicker Man was some inspiration for this. And they also had that fool in the Wicker Man. Well, the fool's also in the tarot. There's a lot of stuff about the fool.
Yes. And one of the other moments like this is Pele does, you know, he's talking to them about like the seasons of life. And she's like, well, what happens when you turn 72? And he's like, he does like the cut in the neck, like, oh, you're dead. And on the second watch this time, I was like, oh, that's funny. Because I know what's about to happen. But you don't pick it up the first time because you think it's a joke. He's kidding. Oh, you die at 72. No, but it's so casual. He's just like, you're dead. And then he goes back to like whatever conversation he's having. That was one of those like foreshadowing moments. Oh,
so good.
Yes.
There was something about, oh my gosh, where... there was something about in the scene where Christian is in an apartment. I bet it was her apartment. But there's a refrigerator behind him. There's the scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz. And they were saying that was like a foreshadowing to him being burned alive. Oh, gosh. I don't remember exactly. Let me think. When all the main characters. Oh, when they're at that party.
Oh, okay.
I just am not astute enough to recognize what's happening on the fridge. I'm so focused in on the characters and how they're interacting with each other. But on that, there's a picture of the Scarecrow of Wizard of Oz. The Scarecrow was afraid of fire as he was made of straw, right? So they think that this foreshadows Christian's fate of burning alive, surrounded by straw and bodies that are stuffed like scarecrows. I did not see that at all, but
I didn't pick up on that either.
Yeah. And that when Danny has that nightmare and all that black stuff comes out of her mouth, for me, I was like, what is that? And it was like the smoke that her sister inhaled.
Oh, okay.
That's what that was representative of. I'm glad I'm not the only one that didn't go, oh, that's the smoke.
No, I didn't.
Okay, I didn't.
I didn't pick up on it. There is also, above her bed, you might have picked up on this because it's pretty in the forefront, but it's right in the beginning of the movie when she's, like, sleeping and he comes in to get her. There's, like, a portrait of a gigantic bear, like, and the little girl with, like, a crown on her head is, like, I think, like, touching the bear.
I vaguely remember seeing that picture because it was really prominent, but I don't remember anything else about it. I think I just kind of pushed it away.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, hidden Easter eggs in the artwork, you know, like, before we even get to the commune. It's interesting.
Oh, I love that. Now I want to watch it again. Yes, I can't wait.
Last thing I want to say that I have written down is just, I mean, I've already talked a little bit about this, but there's, like, some genius just filmmaking aspects. And there's, like, a lot of these, but I only wrote down two. But the bathroom to bathroom transition, do you remember this? When she was in
to the airplane?
Yeah, to the airplane bathroom where she, I mean, just phenomenal. Like, I was just so blown away by that. It was good.
I literally said out loud to my daughter, wow, their bathroom looks like an airplane bathroom. Like, why? Like, that split second before I realized she was in an airplane, I thought, why did they decorate it like that?
So good. And you know, I feel like they do kind of the same thing in Hereditary sometimes, where it feels like you're looking at the set through, it's like a dollhouse, you know. They did that at least one time that I can remember, when Christian goes into the house and has that conversation and he gets up and moves from one room to the other, and they, you know, like truck through, like past a wall. The camera moves past a wall into the second room where he sits down. It's so well done. And then the other thing is when the camera, I love this shot. I love anything like this camera work wise, because it makes my stomach flip, and I really like that. But it was like following the car, and then it goes up and over the car and comes back around and is upside down shooting at the car driving. And then they cut to still upside down from, like, the car's point of view on the road. And there's, like, a sign up at the top, and it, like, flips back over the sign. Like, I love that type of stuff because it makes you feel like you're on a fucking ride. Like, you're getting, like, lulled into this world in an unsettling way. I don't know. I just thought it was, like, really, really well done. And I don't think a lot of movies do this. But when I see it happen, I really fucking enjoy it. I like some moving camera shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were phenomenal with this. It was a masterpiece. And even, I didn't even catch right away, but how the food was moving just very slightly. Oh, just to make you feel very, very uneasy. Oh, I did want to tell you about, so Pele mentions that Maya has just become Bixending. That's what he had said. It's literally BYXMYNDIG. Bixmynding. Anyways, this is Swedish slang for the age of consent, which is 15 in Sweden. Isabel Grill, who plays Maya, was 20 when the movie was filmed, which makes me feel better. But this is something that I noted. My daughter even said it. She looks like she's 13 years old. 13,
yeah,
14 years
really
old.
Really young.
This guy didn't even question it. Okay, let alone him being led and doing all that. There was some looking going on. Didn't even question. How about when they were like, hey, do you want to mate with my daughter? And not even like, how old is she? Or, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying anything about Sweden age of consent or anything like that. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying they're from New York. And so it doesn't even faze him. It's almost just like, okay, whatever. And she very much looked like she was like 13 years old.
Young
yeah,
as fuck.
Very young. Yeah.
So, that was so weird.
Like, yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. But she was 20. All right. So.
Okay.
But not in the movie, though. In the movie, she's 15.
It does make me feel better, though, because she did look really young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. I'm going to say it. And I'm not saying this is every parent of, you know, kids that are actors, but I'm just saying. I worked when I was in college for a talent agency, and I was, what is it called? Interning in the children's division. Whoa. Some of the parents I talked to were literally like, okay, what is it require? And it's fine. She can do it. He can do it. It's fine. Yeah, fine. We're ready. Just because they wanted their kids to become stars so much that I got that all the time. Well, this is required. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Where's the audition? It's fine. So much. So that's bringing it back to, it was nice to know that she was 20. Because you never know, you know? And I sometimes wonder, this is just random and I'm going to shut up right after this. In movies where there's like real horrific scenes or something and there's a kid, I always wonder like how that kid, like how it affected that kid.
Yeah.
Or if it's like even not even a horror movie. It's just like two parents screaming at each other and the mom has an infant and the baby is like screaming. I wonder if there's like some deeper trauma
that happens, right?
Because the baby doesn't even know what's going on. It's just in a movie.
Yeah. And but they don't know to know that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
I just, you know, it's random.
So. It's a good thing she was 20.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say about this movie?
I think that was, that's all I had written down.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I did write down, I just glanced at my notes, and we already talked about this, so I'm just going to say, underlined with an exclamation point, that cry when she was crying. And it reminded me of how much I loved the scream in Ready or Not. And now this cry, this just gut-wrenching cry, well, fantastic. Okay.
Go. So good. The only other thing I was just going to say, and we've also touched on this, but it's for sure like the modern version of The Wicker Man, right? Like The Wicker Man feels old because it was made in the 70s. And I think there's like an element of just like things that might have been creepy then that are less creepy now and more funny. And now, and this movie, like I said, it really comes up to that line of being funny, and sometimes there are humorous moments, but overall it's unsettling. It's really creepy, and I think it just does a really good job of that. And you know, it's just interesting to have another movie like that. I cannot think of another movie that's like this, where it's like all in the sun and creepy and scary. Yeah,
it's so, I'm really glad you said that, because actually it's Ari Aster is too. Because what he really wanted to do with this movie was make a powerful contribution to the folk horror subgenre like The Wicker Man did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mission accomplished.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Interesting. What would you rate this movie?
What do you rate it?
You go first.
Oh, shoot. All right. I was looking at all the different scores and what I scored things. So I'm going to have to say I give this a 4.75 because that is what... What are you laughing about?
Just go ahead.
Okay, because I... that's what I gave Host. That's what I gave The Grudge. And even though those were different experiences, right, I liked just as much. So for Host, I'm screaming my ass off and I was like, oh God, what's going to happen next? This one was just a different feeling, but it was, I enjoyed it just as much.
Okay. I am also going to give this a
4.75. Oh, is that what you're smiling? Okay, wow. Yeah. We should like have this celebration or something that we gave it the same thing.
I thought I was going to give it a 4.5, but then I went back and looked at all the things I had given a 4.5 to, and I think I like it more than those. Just a little bit, mm-hmm. but not quite as much as Hereditary. I still like Hereditary, like, top end. Mm-hmm. It doesn't reach that, so, yeah, matching 4.75. Yes. I don't think I've ever given anything a 4.75. This is my first, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I did the same thing. I was like, maybe a 4.9, but then I was like, maybe not, because there were some that were throwing me off. 4.75 it is for this bad boy.
Ooh, all right.
So what are we watching next?
So we don't even, do we know?
Yeah, we do, because it's The Wicker Man, remember, because we did that little switcheroo, right?
Oh, yeah,
yes. Yeah. The Wicker Man is next.
Yes. I was like, hold on.
We already recorded it, so we're all confused.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry I set you up for that. The Wicker Man is what we're going to be watching next. And so that actually, it was really good we took that week off, because these two back to back, how awesome. Yes. The only thing I wish is that maybe we recorded after so that we could have like made parallels and stuff. But I think that you'll hear it in the episode.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good. And something else that I wanted to bring up is we have a couple new reviews.
Oh, shoot. Oh, this is exciting.
Let me pull them up here. So first one up is from Jessaltop. These ladies are amazing. Not only are they extremely knowledgeable about the horror genre, they're also very funny. I truly enjoy listening. Keep up the great work. Thank you. I'm pretty sure that's Jess from Horror Movie Crew, so thank you, Jess.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you.
Josh Mannequin said, I never miss an episode. I can't wait to listen to the new episodes and laugh along with the gals. They've been a great addition to the horror podcast community and the horror genre in general. Aww. Thank you, Josh. That's also Josh from Horror Movie Crew. Then we've got Agent Cooper is my Patronus.
Nice. Okay.
If there's a reference there, I'm not sure that I understand it. I know what a Patronus is.
I know what a Patronus is.
And then the rest of that, you
who's
lost
Agent
me.
Agent Cooper.
This might be one of our Wry Smile Films friends. I think. They said, I love listening to these two take a dive into the world of horror films. This has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts, and it has made me go back and watch some films that I didn't initially like. Keep the episodes coming. Cheers to you both. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers. That's awesome. And by the way, I don't have anything in there, though.
She's cheers. Okay. Fake cheers.
By the way, fake cheers. Gulp, gulp. But when I searched Agent Cooper, there's just a lot of them. The first one that came up was from Twin Peaks. But there's a lot, so I'm not sure, but I love it.
Okay. Now we have We Love Horror, so thank you, Michael, from We Love Horror Podcast. Tawny and Felicia from Two Chicks and a Horror Flick are so knowledgeable in all the films they discuss. Their banter back and forth is so entertaining, and I could listen to them for hours. What a fantastic freaking show, ladies. Keep up the fantastic work. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
I want to do it forever, all day long.
I know. So nice. Yes. Okay, last one is Erica Michelle. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. I apologize. This says, love the deep dives they give into the different movies. I appreciate that even if they don't always agree with each other or other horror fans, they're not afraid to give their opinions and back up why they like or dislike something. I tune in every week excited to hear their thoughts and find out what they're drinking.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Erica. That means
a lot. I am like on cloud 9 right now.
Me too.
I'm so happy that other people like it besides us.
You know what I mean? I know, yeah. It's been a really long time since we've read our reviews on Apple Podcasts, just because we've had so many like guest episodes and we don't want to do it on those because we feel like, you know, just the process of talking to an extra person sort of like elongates the episode. So we like haven't gotten into it in a while. But thank you guys so much for your reviews. And on that note, if you like this podcast, please give us a review and subscribe and share it with somebody else who would love this type of content. And we also have a Patreon. If you want to support the show, you can go over to Patreon and get involved at a couple different tiers. We also have a Discord that is, we have a free level of Discord too, where you can just get in there and talk to us about like horror stuff. I'm super excited about that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we've talked about this yet on an episode, but something that I just want to say as far as like my intent for this, for the Discord, I'm pretty sure if you listen to podcasts, you know what I'm about to say is like when you're listening to an episode and something happens and you like want to interact with the person that's talking, like you want to be like, oh yes, I agree, or no, I don't agree, or that thing you were trying to remember is this movie or what, mm-hmm. like it's really difficult to have that interaction. And I think Felicia and I both want to break down that barrier to communication as much as possible. And we just felt like Discord was the best way to do that. And so even though we have a free Facebook group where we're still catching people, like our ideal situation is to move people over to Discord because it's like really simple to just get in there and have like a chat conversation with people. And that's like, that for me is ideally, on top of talking about other horror stuff, like movies that we like or news that's going on. I felt the need to tell you all that so that you know to interact with us there.
How meaningful it is to us. How much we would love to interact with you there for sure. Yeah, I agree with you. Well said.
Well said. Sorry, I hijacked that. And now you can tell everybody where to find us.
Oh, you can find us on Discord. And the Facebook community, you can find us there as well, which will lead you to Discord. We are on all the social media platforms, Instagram being our hub. We post most there, but you can find us everywhere else as well. And we have a website too, you know, has some stuff about us. And that's about that.
Yeah, and we love your recommendations, so definitely send them to us, whatever movies you want us to watch, and we'll add them to the list.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, if you don't want to just listen, you can watch us talk about this movie on YouTube.
True. Yes. Yeah. Everywhere. Every podcatcher.
Yep.
Including YouTube.
Which I just learned that word.
Yes.
Tawny just introduced me to that word last week, and it's a great word.
So that's it. And we hope you guys have such a good night. No nightmares.